Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Okay, before we start the show, I got to tell you about something super duper important. Every Friday, Kimberly Johnson and I record a fourth podcast each week. But this one is different from the usual Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday shows. The Friday After Party podcast is loaded with all the politics you want, while also including uncensored, completely obscene conversations about sex, drugs, movies, television, our personal lives, all the stuff we can't get away with on the free show. And it's generating all kinds of comments and conversation on our Patreon page at BobSeskaShow.com. Don't miss out on all the action. Please help support this show by subscribing to our Friday After Party podcast for just $10 a month. That's BobSeskaShow.com, or just click the all caps Patreon link beneath the logo at BobSeska.com. And now let the cartoons begin.
Broadcasting from Resistance Headquarters, relentlessly fighting back against the clown dictator and his regime of deplorables.
Never give up, never surrender.
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Did you do all these wrongs, Doc?
That is the Duomo scene from the Belvedere.
You know, Florence?
All that detail just from memory, sir?
Memory, Agent Starling, is what I have instead of a view.
Well, perhaps you'd care to lend us your view on this questionnaire, sir.
Oh, no. You were doing fine. You had been courteous and receptive to courtesy. You had established trust with the embarrassing truth about Miggs. And now this ham-handed segue into your questionnaire. It won't do.
I'm only asking you to look at this, Doctor. Either you will or you won't.
Yeah. Jack Crawford must be very busy indeed if he is recruiting help from the student body. Busy hunting that new one, Buffalo Bill. What a naughty boy he is. Do you know why he's called Buffalo Bill? Please tell me. The newspapers won't say.
Well, it started as a bad joke in Kansas City homicide. They said, this one likes to skin his humps.
Why do you think he removes their skins, Agent Starling? Throw me with your acumen.
It excites him. Most serial killers keep some sort of trophies from their victims.
I didn't.
No. No, you ate yours.
Happy Halloween!
Bob Seska!
Hi, Bob!
Hi, Bob!
Hi, Bob!
Hello!
The Bob Seska Show!
Just watched that the other night. Just as creepy as always, and it's literally the 1,000th time I've watched Silence of the Lambs. From a nation's capital, it is Tuesday, October 29, 2019, and this is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com. The greatest damn soap in the universe. If you're not buying lots of Bubble Genius soap, I don't know what the hell you're putting on your skin, but it's not good. Can't possibly be good. Oh, hi, what's up? My name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, day 1013 of the Trump crisis, day 36 of the impeachment of Donald Trump, 369 days until the 2020 presidential election. Ah, and here's my friend Buzz Burbank from Buzz Burbank News and Comment. Hi, Buzz.
Oh, hi. Hi, Bob. Hi, everybody. Hello. Hi. Great to be back. I love the comedy clips that you play at the start of the show.
that was so funny, wasn't it?
I laughed all the way through it. I love the dark humor. Oh, man. I Hi. Anyway, I don't know about you, but I don't know why I can't really explain it. This isn't really like me, but I've suddenly developed a keen interest in baseball. What do you think?
Me too.
I do have a scoop today from inside the White House. Mm-hmm. I actually got a little something from the White House this year for Halloween. I've learned.
Yeah.
A 13-year-old Barron Trump is going as Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz. So. Going to require a lot of hair gel.
A reduction in IQ, that too, you know.
Well, we found out this week the Kurds, and we're so grateful to the Kurds, and I think all Americans are so sorry for the way they've been treated, but we found out this week that the Kurds are like the underwear gnomes from South Park. Al Baghdadi's underwear plus question mark equals profit.
I always love a good underpants gnome reference. That's great. Yeah,
I was hoping that would carry the joke. Bob and I almost started taping on time today, but I was late showing up at the studio. I had to take a phone call. Not exactly a phone call. It was a Rudy Giuliani butt dial.
I got one of those too.
I can't hang up on his butt. And I kind of a disclaimer. I hope these jokes are okay. I don't want to say that last week's jokes were bad, that the monologue was bad, but after the show, the jokes were pushed into a tunnel and violently eliminated. So that's at least there's justice.
Yeah, they were whimpering and crying the whole time.
Yes, they were, and rightly so, I think.
All right.
Oh, hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. You know what? Before we continue on, Buzz, we got to do this.
Yes.
Yeah, because there's just too many things right now.
If you have any doubt, it's going to take him out, Ukraine.
Yeah, we're going to just dive right in at this point.
It's a theme. It's Ukraine is the theme, isn't it?
Yeah.
Of this impeachment.
Mm-hmm. 100%. I've chosen this place to start for exactly that reason, because there's so many things we got to get to. The Vindman thing, Colonel Vindman, when that news came down last night, I hadn't felt that good since, well, the previous night when I saw everyone booing and chanting at Donald Trump, mocking him and seeing that face melt away.
In spite of the embarrassment that we had to watch on Sunday morning from Trump about the al-Baghdadi raid, progressives, Democrats got three big victories in just a matter of days. The big three or four punch ruling from the federal judge on Friday that the impeachment is real, that Congress gets the unredacted Mueller report and the grand jury testimony. Just a very supportive, extremely promoting, impeachment promoting decisions from that judge. And then Trump getting booed on Sunday at the World Series. And then on Monday, the announcement of, we're taking a vote on the impeachment inquiry.
Yeah.
Now, it's not a vote on impeachment itself, but this grants Republicans their wish, the wish they'll wish they hadn't made.
In fact, we're going to come back to the things from the weekend here in just a little bit. This guy, Colonel Vindman, is the first, is he not the first administration
White
official,
House.
The current sitting administration official,
right,
to actually testify? And
to have actually been in on that call. And by now, I presume all our listeners have heard how decorated, how honorable a man this is.
Yes, that's right. And you know what? I was trying to find the extent of his injuries in Iraq. I want to say he lost a leg in that IED attack. I could be very wrong on that because I saw an image fly by on Twitter. I couldn't verify it. But I mean, obviously, this guy has extensive service that makes his word unbelievably impeccable. And so they could expose the name of the whistleblower tomorrow and start an endless smear campaign. They'd still be, 3 weeks? How many days behind the eight ball would they be? 36 days. 36 days behind the times, right?
Hopelessly. But and maybe it's an answer they don't really want an answer, a question they really don't want an answer to.
Right.
Maybe they just enjoy asking the question for trolling purposes.
That's
I really think that's what it's all about, because virtually everything, nearly everything that the whistleblower reported in their report has now been corroborated by the White House transcript, most of all, of that phone call, and also by the testimony that Congress has heard so far, and the documents they've received, and the extra things that journalists have found, all of them supporting nearly everything in the whistleblower report, which is why the Democrats are saying, we don't really need him anymore. We want to, and yet the Republicans, as you're saying, continue to want to expose his identity or her identity.
Yeah. And, you know, this is what I've been talking about. It's a perfect illustration of what I've been talking about since Donald Trump was elected, which is the idea of taking that fire hose of news that Donald Trump commandeered on, well, going back to 2015, but I mean, really officially after the election. And now we've taken that fire hose of news and we've seized it and we've turned it around and we're firing it into Donald Trump's face and he can't keep up. He can't. He's still on the identity of the whistleblower. And again, that was 36 plus days ago. And since then, there have been all of these officials who have stepped up to testify in defiance of the White House, in defiance of the State Department. It is a wonderful thing to observe. And now we've got this guy, Colonel Vindman, who's word is absolutely impeccable, unimpeachable. But of course, they're going after him now. They're going his background in Ukraine as far as being born in Soviet Ukraine.
I like that Liz Cheney spoke up about that, against that today, saying, you know, you Republicans, no one has any right to impugn the character of this witness, of this individual. That's a relief. And we're saying these are among the cracks that we're seeing that I talked about last week. And also I want to take a little credit here because otherwise I'm worthless, but occasionally I get something right. And that is that self-deprecate much. I sometimes get things right. One of the things I said to you months and months and months and months ago is that at some point the key to winning this is to turn the fire hose on him.
Yeah.
And that's exactly, again, it did my heart so much good to hear you say that because that is exactly what is happening now. Now, this is not to say he doesn't still have a hose. I don't think its output is as great right now. And I think the output against him from the Democratic hose, who has the bigger hose?
Yeah,
I think
I was just gonna say.
I think their output, the force of that Democratic fire hose toward him now is much greater than the one he has aimed at the rest of us.
Oh yeah, we've got a fire hose attached to a jet engine, and he's got a little teeny tiny mushroom fire hose. He's not gonna outpower our fire hose, that's for sure. I mean,
you know what I was thinking? Speaking of self-deprecating, you know, we talk about the weaknesses of the Democratic Party and what we could do better and that sort of thing. You know what we do well? Impeachment.
Yeah.
As I look around and I see how this is being conducted, I'm very proud. I think this is very well managed. I think Congress has the president right where they want him.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, this runs so counter to this frame that some of the Never Trumpers are trying to spread around, which is that the Democrats are weak and feckless and they can't get anything done. I mean, they are impeaching the goddamn president and they're doing it in the most centered, sober way possible. And I love every second of it because these guys, they don't know how to respond. The Jim Jordans, Mark Meadows, those guys, Louis Gohmert, the president himself, they don't know how to counterattack.
Yeah, right.
I mean, one guy was trying to invade one of the skiffs today during the Vindland testimony, just made an ass of himself. I mean, that's all they've got left is these very weak. Yeah. All it takes is like one glance at Snopes and their entire thing falls apart precipitously. But I mean, you got Laura Ingraham saying Vindman is a Ukrainian double agent. Sean Duffy, this new hire at CNN, said it seems very clear that he is incredibly concerned about Ukrainian defense. I don't know that he's concerned about American policy. We all have an affinity to our homeland, where we came from. He has an affinity for Ukraine. This guy was blown away by an IED in Iraq.
America.
Right. Exactly. After years of service prior to that in Germany and South Korea. And the fact that he was originally born in Ukraine means absolutely fucking nothing. He just happens to be an expert at that. And that obviously that's worthy of scorn and and ridicule from these guys. But I mean, as you said, I'm glad that Liz Cheney at least stepped up and corrected the record on all these guys. But this is what they do. They don't care about veterans. They only care about the veterans who are there as props, right, like the ones Donald Trump often wraps himself around as human shields.
They care about privatizing veterans' care for the Veterans Administration.
Yeah. I mean, the thing I keep going back to, and I always, this is one of the things that I like to flog to death because it perfectly illustrates the Republican hubris when it comes to attacking military veterans. I mean, they went after Max Cleland in 2002, a guy who left three limbs in Vietnam, and they were attacking his patriotism, saying he was in league with Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden. Thank you, Rick Wilson, for that one. And it was just despicable.
It's despicable.
Yes, it is, Rudy. And they just can't help but to do it, especially when their backs are against the wall. But it's not going to stick here. I don't think anyone's buying it. And clearly the crowd at the World Series game the other night didn't buy it either.
Well, the great thing about the Thursday vote on the impeachment inquiry in the House is that it takes away the Republican. I mean, they're still arguing it, but it really takes away the Republican argument that this is a hidden process and that it's not due process and all of that. They don't have that anymore. They can no longer attack the process. They can only defend the president, and surprise, there is no defense.
And you know, the thing that's blowing me away too about this Vindman story is NBC News got their hands on his opening statement from today, and the details in that opening statement should be making Donald Trump crap his big boy pants right about now. Absolutely. I mean, just the details of that meeting with Bolton. Who was in that meeting? Bolton, Vindman, I think Fiona Hill was in the meeting. Sondland was in the meeting too. And Sondland's there trying to push this ridiculousness with Rudy Giuliani and the quid pro quo with Ukraine. And the NSC team, which is Bolton and Vindman and Fiona Hill, they're pushing back against these Batman villains that Donald Trump has surrounded himself with, right? And so the New York Times, the New York Times article about all of this is, there's no other word to describe it but delicious. I mean, every word of it. I just devoured this thing from top to bottom. By the way, Rachel Maddow, on a recent Mark Maron episode, revealed where she gets so many of her juicy little scoops that some of us haven't heard about during, for example, her A block, where she'll land on something and go, how do we not see that? Well, she revealed that what she often does is scrolls all the way down to the bottom of an article. Where
that's my trick.
Is it really? Is that what you do?
It is. I had no idea.
Wow.
I had no idea that's what she did. But they teach you here. Look, can we take a second to talk about what they teach in journalism school?
Sure, sure.
It you know, in the very basic, at least in, you know, back when we wore onions on our belts, the way journalism was taught is that when you write a news story, whether it's for print or broadcast, you put the most important fact is your lead. That's your first sentence.
Yeah.
You should start there and work with facts of diminishing importance your way down the story. Now, honestly, part of this, the psychology behind this was so that when they needed to cut column inches in the newspaper, they could safely cut off the bottom and you'd still be okay.
Right.
But that's not necessarily the best way to convey information. Sometimes, as Rachel knows, as I have tried to do from the very start of my career, and that is to tell a story. Stories are if you know something about the people, or I love being able to share details that you just don't get anywhere else.
Context.
I love painting a picture. I like making you feel like you're there based on the facts that are available. And oftentimes those interesting, fascinating things are buried way down into the story because of that inverted triangle they taught in journalism school. I'm shocked to hear that Rachel has been using the same, and probably forever, and the same technique that I've been using forever. Yeah. I had no idea, and that makes me very proud.
Oh my God, yeah. Those last three paragraphs, that's the source of all, that's the fountain
sometimes
where she gets all of this stuff.
Sometimes it's three quarters of the way down, two thirds of the way down, but somewhere buried in that story, if it's good journalism, There's some interesting stuff in there.
Well, yeah, and I love that she revealed that, too, because, you know, I've ranted about this on many occasions where a lot of us online, we don't even read past the headline in some cases. We read the headline or maybe the lead. There have been studies about this where people don't read down a certain percentage of the article. So, therefore, anything that would be included, say, 24 paragraphs into a piece is completely lost on the general public. And
right.
So this
most
is
people don't see it. Yeah. And I love bringing people things they wouldn't otherwise see, especially if it enriches the true story.
Yeah, because at first when Rachel said that, I was like, wow, you're exposing your secret here. But then I said, you know, this is great because now that's going to encourage more people to read all the way down into a piece like that and get some of those tidbits at the end. But this New York Times piece, you got to look at it from top to bottom here. I mean, one of the quotes from the statement from Vindland that he's delivered this morning on the Hill, he said, I stated to Ambassador Sondland, this is about that meeting, that his statements were inappropriate. Sondland, of course, is pushing this quid pro quo with Ukraine in this meeting with the NSC, and that the, quote, request to investigate Biden and his son had nothing to do with national security and that such investigations were not something the NSC was going to get involved in or push, he added. And he's also making a case, and this is another brilliant thing about this testimony. This is why Donald Trump should be shitting his pants right about now. It's because he is framing this from a national security perspective. Jonathan Alter had a great rant last night with Lawrence O'Donnell talking about the national security implications of why this Ukraine story is so important. This is so incredibly vital to the entire case to actually loop in maybe some national security conservatives who will see this exactly the way Jonathan Alter is seeing it, exactly the way Colonel Vindman is seeing it, as a national security crisis. I mean, we're talking about not just this counterintelligence investigation, not just all the dealings that Donald Trump has had with Russia and everything else circulating around Donald Trump's roster of criminality, but then this too. My God, this is, I mean, the Ukraine thing has so many dimensions to it. And again, Donald Trump can't keep up. He can't do it. He's met his limit. He's met his match.
Yeah, yeah. He can't fight it on his terms and he can't win it. Absolutely at this point. I mean, it's just, it's all but dotting the I's and crossing the T's at this point. Yeah. I mean, as I've said for a couple of weeks, we could do this afternoon.
Oh, I know.
But we do need to have these hearings. And it's these public hearings that swung the country in Watergate. And it's I believe, based on what we've heard so far from the closed door testimony and the public statements that have been released with it, we have quite enough, and I think the job now is what Democrats are doing, and that's putting it on television.
The next step, Buzz, is going to be so, for lack of a better term, entertaining, because
this is the time to start the popcorn. It's finally, we've talked about, we've made jokes, we put up memes, we've been talking about popcorn for a year at least. It's time to start popping.
Yeah, absolutely. It's time to start popping. That's a great way to put it. Because the public portion of this process, you know, of course, the Republicans are out saying this is all happening in secret. They're doing this entirely in secret, bullshitting and making crap up to make it seem like that there are no Republicans in the skiffs. And of course, there are Republicans in the skiffs. The Republicans who want to be there and who belong there, they're in there. The thing is that all of this testimony is going to get repeated, minus the national security things, the classified intelligence detail that may be eliminated in the public hearings. But for the most part, we're going to get all of these hearings done, reperformed in public on television, so we can see people like Sondland, we can see Kurt Volker, and we can see Fiona Hill, we can see Colonel Vindman all testifying right there on television. I mean, the next, I guess, I don't know when they're going to start with the public hearings, but it's like, it's got to be right around the corner. Yeah. I mean, if it has to wait until after the holidays, I'm fine with that too. Bigger audience.
I don't think it'll take that long, Bob. I think they're looking at taking the full House impeachment vote, the full House vote to impeach before the Christmas break.
Really?
Certainly before Christmas. So I think those hearings, as you said, are going to start very, very soon.
Yeah.
Because they hope to have this all wrapped up, I think, and ready to push to McConnell at Christmas, according to the latest that I read today.
And do you think they're going to limit this to the Ukraine crimes, or are they going to expand into the other
things? That debate continues within the party, its leaders and its members. And, you know, here's how they're putting together the articles of impeachment now so that they're ready. And I think essentially what I've heard, the analysis that I've read is that it's going to be abuse of power, which will include Ukraine and other stuff, but primarily Ukraine. This case is mainly about Ukraine, despite the truckloads and truckloads of other crap that he's done. This is the clear crime with the smoking gun. So abuse of power. Obstruction of justice, obstruction of Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Those will be part of it. And I think those, and under those umbrellas will be whatever they decide to include that they feel they have enough on. And in the end, you know, we can talk about, Rachel was talking last night about what about China? And it reminded me a little bit with her guest, a member of Congress. It reminded me a little bit of the show that you and I did together last week, in that Rachel had assembled this tremendous journalism on how Russia has done much of what he's done with Ukraine.
Yeah.
He's also done with China. And she gets a congressman on later in the show and says, "Are you going to investigate that?" And he goes, his answer was essentially, "I don't know. We got kind of a full plate already." And that was sort of my reaction to, what you brought forth last week about Trump manipulating Wall Street to the profit of himself and his friends. Absolutely a crime, possibly the crime of the century. Can you hang on to, can you put a pin in that? Because I think, and I would say the same thing about Rachel's China's pursuit and your pursuit of the Wall Street thing. Those things absolutely must be investigated and must be recorded in history and must be corrected. Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. But right now, job one is getting this guy out of office before he does any more harm.
Yeah.
And so, whatever the most expedient path to that is, that's the one we should take. And Democrats are trying to determine right now, just as you asked, how much do we include, how much do we leave out? I'm going to say it depends on how tight a case they have on each of those things.
You know, my guest tomorrow on the interview show, William Cohen, the author of the Vanity Fair piece in which he examined many of these major stock trades on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange and determined that there were these chaos trades going on right before Donald Trump makes one of his gigantic blurts about the trade war or the tariffs or Saudi oil or whatever. And so I'm going to get this whole scoop from William Cohen tomorrow in person. I am going to ask him about the Slate piece that claims to have debunked his article. So we're going to definitely get into those details too, the items from the Slate piece.
Well,
and I will say to him that the one thing that Slate forgot to mention is the fact that Donald Trump has done that many, many times. He has manipulated the stock market in the past. This is well documented from things that he and his dad, Fred Trump, used to do all the time in order to scam the stock market.
And I want both of you to pursue that to the end of those trails. And I'm eager to hear how that turns out and what he does have to say about that Slate article. So everybody listen.
Yeah, and in fact, I'm under no delusions that this is going to be an impeachment article or anything like that. Even if it's not, it's certainly something that the Democrats can use in the campaign next year. It's absolutely something that Donald Trump could be flogged with, especially once some more details are flushed out. But we also know that Congress is very interested, too. I mean, in fact, not just Congress. Okay, I'm talking about, I think it was 14 or 17 Democratic senators sent a letter to not only Bill Barr, but the SEC and some of the other regulatory bodies wanting more information about these so-called chaos trades that William Cohen wrote about. So I can't wait to get the full scoop from him tomorrow in the interview
show.
But here's a big question for everybody. Do you feel younger than you appear? I mean, if I'm not looking at myself in the mirror, I still feel like I'm 13 years old. I feel like I haven't aged. But then I look
You'll always be 13 to me, Bob.
That's right. Until
what?
Until you see a picture or until I look in the mirror, I see under eye bags. I see crow's feet, wrinkles. They of course add years to our appearance, don't they? That sting when someone thinks you're 10 years older than you actually are. It's crushing, crushing to the ego, and the confidence level plummets right through the ground. Okay. But let's talk about a quick and easy fix. It's called Plexaderm, a clinically studied serum that visibly eliminates wrinkles, crow's feet, lines under eye bags in just a matter of minutes right before your eyes. It's almost like magic. It's exactly what you need to win the battle against Father Time and restore your confidence too. And if you don't believe it, I didn't believe it either until I took the test, and I was amazed with the results, what I saw in the mirror in just a matter of about 10 minutes. Plexaderm goes on clear, so nobody's going to know you're using it unless you tell them. And the effects of it last 4 hours. Bye-bye eye bags. Go to tryplexaderm.com. Use my code SEXYLIBERAL for 50% off plus an additional $10 off. That's right, 50% off plus an extra $10 off. This offer is also available by calling 1-800-685-1292 and mentioning the code SEXYLIBERAL, two words, all caps. Plexaderm is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit tryplexaderm.com today and use the code SEXYLIBERAL at checkout. That's tryplexaderm.com. The code is SEXYLIBERAL.
The Bob Seska Show.
Curse the day he called my name. Wrapped my heart in a burning flame. And he pulled me under like a ball and chain. Down, down, down. 7 years and 15 days. Watched him lie in a whiskey haze. That man ain't never gonna change his ways. Down, lay him down.
Yeah, this is Lizanne Knott. Brand new music. Lay Him Down is the name of the song from her Bones and Gravity album. I'm really in love with this album. I think it's fantastic. It's wonderful. Can't wait to include it in the upcoming Indie Music Countdown. That's coming up this weekend. And if you want to submit your music to the show, go to bobseska.com/music or just click the Submit Your Music link beneath the logo at bobseska.com. Thank you.
Cowgirl song, yeah.
Yeah, this is badass. Just a wonderful, wonderful album. One song is better than the next. I can't praise this enough. Debating whether I should do it like a year-end countdown.
Ooh, yes.
I'm not sure yet. It'll be
because I think you should be working over the holidays. So yes.
That's right. It'll be 9 hours long. I hope you have some time to listen. No, I don't know if we're going to do that. I mean, that would include me having to. It. I would have to.
Same length show. You just pick your top songs of the year.
You know what? It would take me hours just to compile the list. It would take me maybe weeks to do that.
Probably. You play a lot of music.
Yeah. Okay, so one of my favorite things from the past 24 hours or so has been this mashup from the Jimmy Kimmel show. Yes. From last night. Jimmy Kimmel made a mashup of Donald Trump's announcement about al-Baghdadi and Barack Obama's announcement about the raid that killed Osama bin Laden. And you really get an incredible grasp of Donald Trump's ineptitude when you see it contrasted point blank with an actual president. Brilliant. And that's one of the things I love most about this. Here's this mashup from the Jimmy Kimmel show. I believe this was from last night. And it starts out with Barack Obama. So here we go.
The United States has conducted an operation that killed Osama bin Laden.
Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi is dead.
The United States launched a targeted operation against that compound.
They did a lot of shooting. And they did a lot of blasting, even not going through the front door. You know, you think you go through the door. If you're a normal person, you say, knock, knock, may I come in?
After a firefight, they killed Osama bin Laden and took custody of his body.
He died like a dog.
But his death does not mark the end of our effort.
A beautiful dog. A talented dog.
We give thanks for the men who carried out this operation.
And I don't get any credit for this, but that's okay. I never do. Here we are.
May God bless you. And may God bless the United States of America.
And I'm writing a book.
Oh, my God.
All did very well.
Fuck them.
You know, that's right.
You know how you go to a door and say knock, knock? You don't actually knock on the door. In his world, you go to the door and you say knock, knock.
At some point.
Because he's 6 years old.
At some point, someone told him, hey, you're great when you improvise. And they should have never have told him that, because he's not great. He's terrible at improvising. He can't do it. That's when he comes up with things like, you just go up to the door and you hit knock, knock, and they answer the door. Instead, they had to blast. It's so pathetic. And the other thing that you don't get by hearing just the audio is also the visual contrast between Barack Obama, who always seemed together, you know, put together in terms of his
dignified
in his demeanor. And then Donald Trump, who's just doing that. He always says to and do in the same way. It's a ridiculous, affected way he speaks. And then just looking like shit. I mean, he always just looks like hell, that he's just painted over. Painted over hell is what Donald Trump generally looks like.
The best he can do, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, this brings us to the Baghdadi story from on Saturday and Sunday in particular. My only concern about that whole thing was I felt like when the announcement first came down from Trump that we all kind of just accepted it at face value rather than maybe more questioning posture, given the nature of this guy's dealings behind closed doors and the way he self-aggrandizes and so on. I'm not saying that it didn't happen, and I wasn't suggesting that at the time, but just the details of the thing were hinky to me. And it turned out that some officials after the fact said, you know, and including the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who's not some sort of snowflake liberal, said that, yeah, I have no idea where Donald Trump got some of that stuff.
Right, exactly. here's my take on it. It is sad that people that there are still many people in this country who just blindly accept what he has to say when they should by now know better. And I couldn't agree with you more about that. And I couldn't agree with you more about what you went on to say about Joe Scarborough and his admonishment,
which we'll
come back to later.
But, yes.
I reported it at about the same time the president made the announcement, but I had gotten my information. I'd been following updates throughout the evening and the night before and in the morning prior to the president's announcement before posting anything.
Right.
And when I did avoid the details. I did not quote Trump, I don't think, and I certainly didn't include any of the details he included. And I also found on social media people not believing. So I had a little trouble when you said everyone was totally believing what Trump said. It may have felt that way, and some did, and some media did adopt his details as facts when, in fact, they weren't, and all of that's bad. But I think mostly people saw it for what it was, that it was something that really had happened, and the president made an announcement about it, but most of what he said after that was untrue or classified that he shouldn't have said. Interesting NBC News reporting that Trump revealed way too many details about that operation. Gave away sources and methods that endanger future U.S. operations. An operation like this, perhaps because of what he's revealed, can never be conducted again. Mm-hmm. At the very least, they'll have to look for lesser alternatives. And this was a touch-and-go situation as it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and like you said, the other some of what he reported was just untrue. It just some of the. It's fortunate. Maybe the best thing that happened to national security in that news conference / speech is that although he did reveal some national secrets, he also got some of them wrong. And our allies and enemies will have to figure out which ones he got right, which ones he got wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's just enough diversion there that helps, but only because he's a screw up. Otherwise, he was proud of the details that he had learned.
Yeah.
And as we all know, and as you and I have discussed before, he loves the gore. Not the Al, just the gore.
That's true. I guess it wasn't my discontent with some of the reaction, obviously not necessarily including what you were reporting, because you were just reporting what everyone else was reporting, and that's fine. And I was not necessarily doubting the actual event had occurred. I was just using that more as a a peg for a related argument, which is to say that we just have to be careful when Donald Trump steps out and says something, or there's an article that says, according to Donald Trump. Usually when there's something that comes out that says, according to Donald Trump, it's got to be seen as being dubious.
That's right, and that's a disclaimer I want to see, because then I know to take it with a grain of salt. We've had certainly plenty of experience of that. More than 13,000 lies into this administration. So, it's just that, and my reporting and some of the other early reporting on what happened there in Syria was based on intelligence, what we'd heard. We were hearing from military and intelligence sources before Trump had ever made his announcement. So anything I reported was based, for example, and I didn't take it personally, but I was concerned about the perception that might be created. Because I think some of us were reporting on what we were getting from other sources before Trump ever had his silly Sunday morning TV show.
Yeah, that's true, too. You know, just when I was hearing him speak and throwing in all of these extraneous details, it was infuriating me. Because,
of course, rightly so.
Well, because, of course, I also project forward into his rallies and so on, and I imagine him beating this to death for the next
that's what he was
10 months.
For. Right. And here's the beauty, and you know, I know you, this one thing leads to another, of course, but this is the beauty of what happened here, is that he went to that ball game the next day, or that evening, I mean, expecting to be hailed as a hero. And that's not how it turned out at all.
No.
So this is just, seriously, more popcorn, please. This is getting very interesting.
Well, that was really the thing that made me breathe much easier. In fact, saying I was able to breathe much easier is understating my reaction to what happened at the World Series game the other night, which was just 100% elation. I mean, you have no idea. I can't describe how wonderful it was to see a more or less non-political crowd of 42,000 people booing him, which isn't unprecedented. A lot of politicians get booed at baseball games, but then mocking him on top of that with the lock him up chant.
Never has that happened.
Right. And so that was such a beautiful thing. And so I saw it from the one angle, and of course I'm so skeptical about shit when it comes up sometimes, and I'm thinking, well, was it just that one section of the stands? And then I saw more video from other sections of the stadium, and it was still happening loud and clear. It was the whole stadium, obviously not every single person, but enough of it to make a really loud, really unanimous seeming statement about Donald Trump's crimes.
It was because it was in D.C. and because it was a home game. It was, you know, a vast majority Democratic audience, crowd there to see that game. And so this was and he ventures out of the White House so rarely. He stays within his circle at all times. We were talking about storytelling earlier. I have scoured and scoured for details on that whole baseball thing, on the whole World Series thing. And I will tell that in story fashion, even though it won't be as fresh as it was on Sunday evening or Monday morning, or it'll be Thursday, but it'll be a telling that you've not heard before.
I can't wait. That's going to be incredible. And you got to include the fact that the Lerner family, the owners of the Washington Nationals, made an appeal to not just anyone, but to Major League Baseball to make sure they wouldn't be asked to join Trump in his box during the game. They didn't want anything to do with Trump if he had showed up for the game, which he and which they summarily avoided.
I'll tell you how he swung that, how he was able to get there even though the owners didn't want him there.
How's that? You're gonna tease. God. Okay.
You said we have many important things to talk about today.
Okay. All right. Gotcha. All right. Buzz Burbank News and Comment, buzzburbank.com, realmnetwork.com. If you want to get the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say. Yeah, there you go. So that was the other night. And now we have scolds going around saying, oh, it was so un-American. Joe Scarborough, who, by the way, I've defended Joe Scarborough in the past. I'm not as infuriated by Joe Scarborough as many of you listening. But The fact is that he was pure. This was textbook Joe Scarborough the other morning, tisking everyone for chanting and their un-American behavior. Mika Brzezinski called it dangerous. But then there was also Chris Coons, who's a moderate Democrat from Delaware.
Yes.
I said the president.
Yeah,
the president deserves our respect, which is just one of the most obscene things I've ever heard. Sorry, Chris Coons, but my God.
Yeah.
We will give him.
A president deserves our respect. This president does not.
Right.
This president's earned the opposite of that, and it was this president who created that chant in the first place.
Yep. When this president respects the office of the presidency, I'll start to respect this president. But it's never going to happen. It's never, ever going to happen. Yeah, presidents deserve our respect, but not this one. This was not un-American. In fact, this is a great display of what it means to be an American. This is a great display of democracy. A peaceful, spontaneous, and necessary protest against the president. No one was hurt. No one had shoes thrown at them or pies or mace or anything else. No one was arrested. This was a spontaneous display of discontent. I would even go much further and say that it wasn't just about locking them up. I think people are genuinely sick and tired of Donald Trump. I think people are tired of the chaos. They're tired of having his face in their living rooms 24/7, which is never supposed to happen. I was really glad to see Steve Schmidt talk about that the other night with Chris Hayes. So I think people are just sick and tired. And I, as soon as the press starts talking about Trump fatigue, that'll be a welcome narrative to include in this campaign story.
I'm still, you know, you and I have talked about this before. I'm still waiting to see it kick in among Republicans.
Yeah.
I think it has a little bit, but not so that you could tell. And that still disturbs me because you and I, for a year and a half, 2 years ago, were banking on Republicans becoming fatigued from this guy, as well as Democrats. And I guess not surprisingly, they've been slower to respond, but I got to think there's a breaking point for them too. Don't they get the connection? Or maybe they thrive, maybe like Trump, they thrive on the fight. Maybe that's what gets them going every day is the fight. I just don't know.
Well, there are some people who are in it for the fight. I mean, there's no doubt about that. They don't care. In fact, I would say a lot of Trumpism includes the idea of, well, we don't care what the facts are. We don't care about being right as long as we're winning. And that's the driving force, I think, behind a lot of Trumpism. Meanwhile, you know, there was Frank Luntz was whining about this, saying that the crowd needs to be held accountable. I don't know how exactly that's going to happen.
Lock them up.
Yeah. That's right. The fact is they should hold those fans accountable. Mm-hmm. Man, is it, don't boo the president. You may disagree with him. You may say he's not what you wanted, but you don't boo him. You show respect for him. This is where I start to panic, Buzz. This is where I believe that some people just don't grasp. And maybe that includes Joe Scarborough. Maybe it includes Mika or some of the others. Uh-huh. I worry that people don't fully grasp the severity of the Trump crisis when they downplay like this.
No, they don't. It certainly leaves that impression that they don't understand. But even in the case of Chris Coons, a guy who clearly understands the threat of this administration, I wonder if he was having a Scarborough moment. I wonder if he was trying to take the high road, whether it be to make himself look good or to try to set a good example. Like I said, this chant came from Trump himself, and this is a man who deserves this and deserves no respect. Yes, I've had many Republican presidents or enough in my lifetime that I didn't agree with and sometimes vehemently disagreed with, but I never didn't consider them the president. This guy is a phony and a fraud and was illegitimately elected and has done nothing to earn respect.
Mm-hmm.
So, we don't have that. And if this country truly is about free speech, if we can't speak up at a moment like this, then when?
Yeah, right. Along those lines, too, regarding respect, in fact, I defended George W. Bush when that Iraqi reporter threw shoes at him during that press conference, and I believe it was in Baghdad.
I do enjoy that clip, however.
Yeah, it is. It is fun to look at because that guy was nimble. Donald Trump, I mean, George Bush was able to dodge those shoes with amazing reflexes.
Him. Yeah,
nearly got him, but he was able to. He was moves like a cat. He was amazing. But yeah, I thought, you know, I'm right in the middle of this recession. It was steamrolling me at the time. I had no love for George W. Bush, I assure you. And those of you who read my writing at the time would know that. The fact is, though, I didn't feel that that was a proper way to protest his malfeasance. I thought there were other ways to do it. And that's one of the things that I think a lot of the Red Hats miss. Guys like Ben Shapiro, that Major League Baseball umpire, so on. They don't understand that there's a democratic process in place here for a reason. That if you don't like what our leadership does, you can vote them out. You can protest against them. You can petition the government for redress of grievances. It's all right there in the Constitution. All you got to do is fucking read it. And you will find that getting your AR-15 because you don't like how Donald Trump, you know, the host of The Celebrity Apprentice, is being treated, then you've got it way wrong.
I'm not taking a position here. I'm asking a question because sure. It's a question. I just want to hear your take mm-hmm. on what is being discussed. And that question is there a danger? Are Democrats stooping to his level and the level of his supporters when we do something like this? Or is this a well-earned cathartic moment?
I would say it's number two. I think it's a well-earned cathartic moment. I think as far as stooping to Donald Trump's level, if this had been Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden and Elizabeth Warren booing and mocking the president, then I would say, you know what? Maybe you shouldn't
things
do that.
Turned
you
guys, ugly. Yeah,
you guys keep your noses clean because we've got this. We're in the trenches of the
let the angry mob handle this.
That's exactly right.
Go back to your offices.
Have you never seen an episode of The Simpsons before? The angry mob rules the world. Now, I mean, as I've always preached, there are layers, there's strata to the political debate where we all have our roles that we play in this entire process called democracy, where our leadership, especially on the Democratic side, they have a certain amount of decorum that they have to maintain, whereas some of
Republicans used to.
Yeah. Well, some of us in the shuttle fights on Twitter and on social media and elsewhere, we can say some of the things that Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi and some of the rest are unable to say. Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah. So along those lines, if a crowd of 42,000 people wants to mock Donald Trump using his own words against him, I'm okay with that. As long as they're not like throwing things at him. I mean, if they had, you know, thrown, beer cans and whatever else at him, maybe I would have said, hey, you know what? Let's not get violent about this because.
And it wasn't organized. Like you said, it was a spontaneous response.
And here's my thing with Chris Coons's response. I haven't lashed out at him as much because I kind of think that Chris Coons is thinking long terms in terms of, well, when he's at his next campaign rally or something like that, he doesn't want a bunch of red hats showing up and saying lock him up to him.
Yeah.
So he's trying to kind of back off in that sense. I give Chris Coons some latitude because he is part of Democratic leadership on the Hill. So he has a different role to play than the rest of us. As long as he's not scolding us for playing our role in all of this. That's the only thing. But I want to talk about this investigation. I think we had this on the after party on Friday, but I want to talk about it again with you, Buzz, because this is one of the big stories of our time where Donald Trump is investigating his political enemies. We're going to dig into that and a whole lot more after these words. Back after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Bob Seska.
We'll be right back. This is a returning favorite, Paul Mellonson, and a song called Overture from Camera Obscura. And just as a point of order, I have an email out to Paul. I'll tell you why. Because I have no blessed clue how to pronounce his name, his last name. Not the Paul part. I can pronounce Paul. But I'm going with Mellonson, but I've sent him an email to clarify, to make sure. And it's been out there. Maybe I should send him a second one because I think he missed it.
That's how it's spelled, Mellonson?
C-O-N, and it's a special C with like a little dash thing underneath of it. It's a strange character there.
I'm lost. Good luck with that. Yeah. When they start adding squiggles, I'm out.
Yeah, there's a squiggle, and it's confusing me. I'm always confused by the squiggles. BobSeska.com/music if you want to submit. Okay, so Barr and U.S. Attorney John Durham are investigating the Obama administration and all of the usual suspects, apparently.
Right.
Possibly a grand jury being convened. I'm not sure what the latest is on that. Mm-hmm. But here was my big takeaway. Of course, this was all from late last week. It was a worrying thing. It should be. It's the president investigating his political enemies. And you want to talk about a witch hunt? This is a witch hunt. This is actual. This is what they really refer to as a witch hunt.
All true.
Here's my thing. I think Donald Trump finally got his Biden investigation. I think this is all part of the same motivating factor. I think Donald Trump is looking to find some kind of dirt on Joe Biden in particular in all of this. He's casting a big net, but he's just looking for Joe Biden so he can undermine Joe Biden during the campaign.
He's probably looking for that, too. I think what they're still looking for is to discredit the Russia investigation
and
to put it off onto Ukraine. So that's part of what's going on there. The bad news is, yes, an action like this is extremely concerning, especially when it gets to the calling grand jury phase.
Yeah.
The better news is that they're not going to find anything, certainly not anything credible.
Right.
And so I expect this will go like Trump's investigation of voter fraud.
But the thing is, they don't need to find anything. That's the problem with Donald Trump and living in this fantasy land that he's created around himself.
When they get a grand jury testimony, they kind of do.
Well, it doesn't matter. It seems to me as if the grand jury finds nothing, Donald Trump is still going to say, there was still something. There's this or that. I mean, he can take any bit of nonsense. Yeah, I mean, the whole thing.
Close the records.
Lisa Page, Peter Strzok, the fact that they had a relationship going on. I mean, there was nothing illegal happening there. But, you know, I think Peter Strzok was demoted for doing that, but it wasn't anything that was necessarily criminal, and I think there's been an Inspector General report to verify that.
Right.
The fact is that still, he's going around all of his rallies and talking about these two as if they're these deep state conspirators. And as long as Donald Trump can manufacture a little bit of smoke, that's all the Red Hats need to pile on to that particular story.
And that's who this is for. Yeah. This is for the Red Hats. They love it. They believe it. They eat it up. It's what makes them happy. It's what makes them think they're right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just all complete fantasy.
Yeah.
But I think when we get into courts of law, I think that in the end, they got nothing.
Oh, yeah. You're totally right. They're screwed. It's a
propaganda tool as much as anything. And they can keep the grand jury testimony sealed and just say, you know, no, this is horrible for the Democrats.
Yep.
But I don't know how far they can get away with that, and I think the clock will run out on them before it runs out on what they're pursuing.
Yeah, I think Donald Trump is looking at this as if to say, well, you know, it doesn't really matter if they actually find anything wrong here. I can always say that they found something wrong, and I think that's what he's planning to do. I think he's going to do that with regard to not just a Joe Biden and Burisma, but I think he's going to do this with that DNC server conspiracy theory of his.
Absolutely.
That's only a matter of time before he really makes that one of the campaign issues.
Well, that's what this was initially about. Yeah. I think it's probably expanded to include dirt on Biden, but the original mission and purpose of this was to prove Russia didn't do it, Ukraine did, and that the Russia investigation was based on a hoax.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go out on a limb and say at some point in the not too distant future, Donald Trump is going to somehow loop Joe Biden personally into the wiretapping of Carter Page or whatever else was going on during the 2016 election that Donald Trump finds hinky with regard to administration approached the Russian attack.
I think and I hope that the clock will run out on them before we get to that. I mean, nice try, fellas. Yeah. But it really is. I mean, as we were talking a moment ago, this is going to go very quickly now, very quickly now. And I think, I hope, I mean, the purpose of this is to sway public opinion with this damning, dramatic public testimony that we're going to be seeing over the next 6 weeks.
That's right. And they're Nunes, once again, Devin Nunes, illustrating the fact that they're just way late. They're way behind the eight ball. They just have not caught up with everything that's going on. Devin Nunes, apparently one of his aides is leaking whistleblower information or trying to get information about the whistleblower. Again, they're still on that whistleblower.
When in fact, everything the whistleblower said has been confirmed, and we've gotten even more and greater testimony from live witnesses since.
Yeah.
So the whistleblower thing is a moot point, but it's more red meat for the base.
And so they can still say, or Donald Trump could say at his rallies, where's the whistleblower? Where's the whistleblower? Right. Make a big stink about the whistleblower.
It's material.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter where the whistleblower is. And as you were saying before, the Democrats are going to vote in the full House on these rules for the public hearings. And I'm also looking forward to, I'm not sure if this is made public yet, the details of this particular set of rules. Have we seen what the actual rules are going to be?
Not the full set, but we've seen a pretty good summary. We know that staff is going to be allowed. Because the good news is, the bad news is that Republicans get to ask questions too, which is something they've been clamoring for. The good news is that staff will be allowed. So, and there will be a little less, considerably less grandstanding, certainly on the Democratic side, and more interviews conducted by congressional staff attorneys asking these questions in for longer periods of time in an organized fashion that's going to be much easier to follow than the kinds of silly formatted hearings that we've seen so far.
And here's something else to look forward to, Buzz. The White House is still debating as to whether or not to make the details of Mike Pence's call with Zelensky public.
Yes. It said there was talk they were going to, and now, whoops, they've decided not to.
Right, and Pence even said he's got no objection to releasing the, they're calling it the reconstructed transcript of the call. The White House is debating whether to release the call details and whether it's going to help or hurt their attempts to push back against the accusation. Of course, it's going to hurt because everything the White House does hurts their argument.
I'm starting to think Pence is the Eric Trump of vice presidents. So I swear, is there just nothing going on up there?
I don't understand.
Is anyone home?
I just think that he just is one of the best at playing dumb about all of this shit. You know, I always talk about Barack Obama's personal discipline, Barack Obama's willpower to maintain restraint and to maintain an even keel. You know, Mike Pence is pretty good at that, too. It's just for evil purposes. That's the major, major difference between him and Barack Obama in terms of their willpower. But Mike Pence has been able to pretty much hold it together through all of this. There's no cracks in that facade when he's standing behind Donald Trump, gazing at the back of Trump's gigantic pumpkin head with such, you know, seeming praise and admiration of the man that he works for and must absolutely despise from a moral point of view.
I also see a slightly evil, sly smile in him as he stands behind Trump. You could easily caption it, I'm going to kill him.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's very hard to read. And likewise, by the way, speaking of cry, there'll be no cracks in his chastity belt either, I'm sure.
That's right. And again, one of the things that I'm loving about this entire story, especially now with Colonel Vindman testifying, who's still a sitting member of the National Security Council for Ukraine, is the Ukraine expert.
Right.
I just love the idea that Donald Trump is sitting around the White House and he's looking at everyone with the side eye thinking, is that person going to turn on me? Is that person? Who's the leaker?
Yeah.
Who's the other leaker? Yeah. Where are all these leakers? Who's that? Is that person loyal to me or are they loyal to Hillary?
Time to start talking to oil paintings.
That's right. It's there. I mean, if he hasn't already started talking to oil paintings, he's way behind the eight ball. He's got to get his Richard Nixon cheat sheet and catch up. He's got to keep up with Richard Nixon on the impeachment front. Okay, so
I hear music. Does this mean where did the time go? We just got here.
I know. We just started, but now we have to finish. We've got lots more to talk about, though, on our post-mortem show. That's coming up next on our Patreon page. When this music is finished, we just keep on talking. That's how the post-mortem show works. It's another 20 minutes of content, all the stuff that we didn't get to in the free portion of the show. Make sure to go there to our Patreon page, bobseskashow.com or patreon.com/bobseskashow, or you can click the all caps Patreon link at bobseska.com. Take you right to our Patreon page where you can sign up for $5 a month. $5 a month support for the show will get you 2 postmortem shows every damn week. Lots of additional content that other listeners, hint, hint, aren't necessarily getting. Yeah. So that's where you got to be on our Patreon page if you want to be in the know as far as the show goes. Meanwhile, Buzz Burbank news and comment can be found at buzzburbank.com or realmnetwork.com. Or every place you get your podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and all the other platforms.
Thanks, Bob.
Best hour of news you're going to hear all week. Okay. That's it for the show. We will see you on the Postmortem show. And don't forget William Cohen. We're going to be talking about... Oh, this is so exciting in Pulse Pound. We're going to be talking about the financial sector. I don't have too much fun listening to tomorrow's show. All right, that's it. We'll see you tomorrow. Take care, folks. Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Stephanie Miller, America's original sexy liberal, if you don't count Millard Fillmore. Come join us for the Happy Hour podcast. You're probably already doing plenty of drinking and swearing with this stain of a president in office. Well, join me and my celebrity and comedian friends for a raunchy, uncensored ride through politics and pop culture, pants optional.